Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, thank you so much, Lord, for all you're doing in these days for your people. Thank you for drawing us unto you, giving us your will, guiding us in truth. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay, we're going to continue with Ministering Angels through UBM, number 5. So what does the Bible say about angels visiting men? Well, I'll share a little bit with you. First of all, Hebrews 1 and 14 says, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation?" Well, they serve us, as they have said, in all things concerning the broad scope of salvation, spirit, soul, body, and circumstances. They serve us. And they serve the Lord. Amen. Revelation 22, 8 and 9 says, "I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things, and when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. But he said to me, 'You must not do that. I'm a fellow servant with you and your brothers, the prophets, and with those who keep the words of this book. Worship God.'" Well, the angels do not accept worship or prayers. They direct all prayers towards God. In Psalm 34 and 7, the angel of the Lord encamps round about those who fear him and delivers them. So they are also our guardians when we accept through faith what the Word says concerning us. We must stand on the Word of God. And Daniel 6 and 22 says, "My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me, because I was found blameless before him, and also before you, O king, have I done no harm." So, the angels have supernatural power over all flesh to save God's people. Genesis 18, 8 through 10. "And the Lord appeared to him by the oaks of Mamre, as he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing in front of him." And I believe this was Jesus and two angels. "When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, 'O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant.'" Well, Abraham recognized the preeminent one among them, you know, among the angels, who, by the way, went on to visit Lot in Sodom and carry out their orders. So, we see that God obviously visits his saints, his leadership, his people, and for the purpose of manifesting that fullness of salvation. Matthew 26 and 53 says, "Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels?" Well, Jesus said the angels would defend him at his request. Amen. And, of course, Jesus didn't accept this deliverance because he was going to the cross. Amen. That's the purpose of God. And Colossians 1 and 16 says, "For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him." So, the heavenly invisible angels, both good and bad, serve the kingdom purposes. God is sovereign. He is over all. He is putting us in a place of training. Amen. Acts 1 and 10 says, "And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes." Well, the angels were there during Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, and catching up to the throne. And it will be so with the man-child in our day. Acts 8 and 26 says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Rise and go towards the south to the road that goes down to Jerusalem, to Gaza.'" This is a desert place. So, when angels give direction to us today, many times we say that the Spirit or God spoke this. But many times it has been spoken through angels. As I've said many times, they are perfect prophets because they give a clear and precise message from God. Luke 15 and 10 says, Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Well, notice that the angels are very happy at our successes. They're on our side. Amen. And Matthew 18 and 10 says, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven." Well, the angels stand before God for those who are innocent in their faith. Amen. And if we confess our faith, they are quick and ready to go forth and act. So Daniel 12 and 1 says, "At that time shall arise Michael the great prince, who has charge of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book." Well, we know that the crucifiers of God's people will be used and either saved or rejected. Michael is an enforcer of this. He is a great prince under our great king. In Revelation 12:7-11 says, "And there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels going forth to war with the dragon, and the dragon warred and his angels, and they prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast down, the old serpent, he that is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was cast down to the earth, and his angels were cast down with him." So we see here that the angels take their authority to bring down the dominion of Satan when the saints agree in their words with the promises and with their bodies through the crucifixion. Because verse 10 goes on to say, "And I heard a great voice in heaven saying, 'Now is come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, who accuseth them before our God day and night. And they overcame him.'" So we see why the angels are able to act. Because of the blood of the Lamb, and because of the word of their testimony, and because they love not their life unto death. God has given us the victory in Christ. He has redeemed us out of the powers of our enemy, according to the word of God. If we stand on that and speak it and believe it, the angels have authority to go forth and do against our enemies. Luke 12, 8 and 9 says, "And I say to you, everyone who confesses me before men, the Son of Man will confess him also before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. So angels act upon our confession of faith. And our orders, too, by the way. They obey our orders when we speak in the name of the Lord. Acts 12, 7 through 11. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him, saying, "Get up quickly." And the chains fell off his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Dress yourself and put on your sandals." And he did so. And he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." So the angels will assist in the escape, I believe, of many from death, just as they did here. And he went out and followed him. And a little further down, when Peter came to himself, he said, "Now I am sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting." Yes, he did, and he does it still. Isaiah 6, 1 through 4 says, "I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple, and above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.' And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke." So many people get hung up on the fact that people can still be on the earth physically and yet see angels. But this is a common occurrence in the Bible and with people who believe in such things. With people who believe the Bible, who stand on the Bible. 2 Kings 19 and 35. "And that night the angel of the Lord went out and struck down 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. And when people arose early in the morning, behold, these were all dead bodies." Well, the angels are mighty in power to strike down our enemies. Hebrews 13:2 says, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it." Well, sometimes angels appear as humans. And so 1 Corinthians 4:9 says, "For I think God hath exhibited us apostles last of all, as men condemned to death, because we have become a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men." Well, I fully expect the wicked to reject these words from heaven in order to crucify the messengers, but the fruit and the revival will be glorious afterwards. Amen. We've been told we're going to be crucified, or I'm going to be crucified, for bringing this message of the angels. Galatians 1 and 8. "But even if we, or an angel from heaven, should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed." Well, yep, any angel that does not agree with the true gospel is an angel of light. And believe me, they can't agree with the true gospel. Not consistently. It's just not in their nature. Revelation 1 and 20. "As for the mystery of the seven stars which thou saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches." So this shows that angels have certain charges over ministries, over peoples, over areas. And by the way, the demons do too. So there are many, many more examples in Scripture. And we'll leave a link at the top of this. You can look them up if you want. And these examples are of the angels' interactions with mankind. For people to say God doesn't do it that way, they don't agree with the Scriptures. Okay, here is a threat from a wicked man in the Middle East against some of our brethren. We called it threats and scoffing of warrior evil and instructions from the Lord through Angel Shemuel. So, warrior evil, he sent this to me. He said, go to hell. He said, well, look at the date. The date was 8-22-22, new beginnings of division. And, of course, God is dividing the righteous from the wicked, and through trials and tribulations, the wicked among us depart. So, and the time was 8:55, new beginnings of grace. So, kind of, it can be new beginnings of warfare, of division, but also of grace. He says, Mr. Warrior, how can you fool all these people? They are not 10,000, they are thousands. No, actually, they are far more than 10,000. He's ignorant. Lord, rejoice with them, ? Ha, 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 ha. Holy Spirit, help them, ha, 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 he says. Angels will be with them. It's time to expose your lies. The church bells are ringing now for your Passover. What he is ignorant of is that the Passover, evil, was taken down. The enemies of God's people were taken down at the Passover. The Passover was a Passover of them, and they struck the Egyptians, the enemy. He went on to say, now everyone will see that there is no angel to protect you from the wrath of God. Well, this man is a Catholic assassin who is overseen by a cardinal to try to destroy those who preach the true gospel. And that's his own confession, that he is overseen by a cardinal. He says, your magic and its effect on them will end. They call this person being born from above, who will not fight with them or kill them. They think that this is magic on them. He says it will end. Clarify the truth and people abandon you. So the angel Shemuel said, don't forget to deploy me abroad to continue fighting the enemies of UBM and all God's elect, both foreign and domestic. This is my charge concerning UBM and all that pertains to her. I am also assigned to coordinate with the angels in charge of UBM missionaries overseas, and have been given permission to introduce their names and their functions for the benefit of your greater understanding and their edification and understanding. Well, Middle East missionary angels? Yeah, the angels who are over our missionaries in the Middle East are Hananiah and Thaddeus. Hananiah means grace, mercy, gift of the Lord. And Thaddeus means God's gift. Both of these are guardians as well as angels in charge of administering the gifts and the provisions for the leadership and the saints in the Middle East. My note that I sent to the missionaries was to start praying and send the angels to destroy all works and plans of the enemy and to protect God's people. You have a spy in your midst. Ask the angels to show them up. It may be someone near the top, because we just started speaking of angels. And of course, warrior angels, warrior evil was speaking of the angels, all right? Someone possibly who has access to your emails. We will send Shemuel, who has access to all the UBM angels there. That was my note to them. And David asked Shemuel for instructions for the missionary in the Middle East concerning warrior evil and the spies amongst them. And Shemuel said, "Tell your brethren, the saints in the Middle East, to gather together and to discreetly go forth out of the city where the besieged are located." Well, in a dream, the buildings were accurately identified along with equipment, but we must protect identities and places, so we can't tell you everything that we know. And here the dreamer said, "After I woke up and was praying for the safety of the saints there, I remembered this scripture in Psalm 34 and 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Thank you, Father, that your angel is around these saints that fear you to deliver them in Jesus' name. Amen." So anyway, Shemuel went on to give them instructions as of where to go. There the angels Hananiah and Thaddeus are waiting with a host of warriors to meet them in the spirit realm. And Eve said, "This morning Michael Hare reported in our morning meeting that he saw a giant cloud in the shape of a hand moving across the sky in the same direction they were commanded to go, by the way, and said it represented the hand of God. And later he reported that there was a large cross-shaped cloud behind it. And this was a confirmation for me of what Shemuel was telling the missionaries where to go." Eve said, "I had a vision of the area they were to go, and it was dusk in the vision, and there was an orange glow on the horizon, and I saw Hananiah and Thaddeus, 20 feet tall, standing with large flaming swords, surrounded by a large circle of 8-foot tall warrior angels facing outwards." Shemuel went on to say, "The saints will bring any and all instruments and devices available to them." In other words, he's still giving them instructions, you know, "owned or borrowed, that can be used to make a joyful noise unto the Lord God, as well as their voices, lifted up in singing praise and shouts of thanksgiving and proclamations of victory over all their enemies in that region and beyond, right up to the very seats of power in the Catholic and the Coptic churches." Well, it reminded me of Psalm 149, 5 through 9. "Let the saints exult in glory. Let them sing for joy upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the nations and punishment upon the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord." Amen. Praise is powerful to bring down the enemy. And as it's being proven here in the last many days, that praise has given people lots of victories and healing and deliverances and miracles and so on and so forth. Praise be to God. We're gathering these testimonies too, to share with people, especially since the eighth day. Things that happen to people after the eighth day, or maybe even during the 7 days, I don't know. "So they will sing and shout unto their master Jesus," still instructing them, "our great general, and they will command in his name and authority the angels to go forth and destroy all the works of darkness and the plots against them, their buildings and equipment. Tell them to decree the fall of the false religions over their region. Well, you can't imagine that the devil would want anybody to do this. Some people are goofy like that. They would consider this the devil telling them to do this. Well, not, impossible. The Archangel Michael has been ordered to supplement the engagement and to assist with his warriors against the principalities over that region on their behalf in the second heaven. This will not be a battle fought and won in a day or a night. They must continue with these instructions and keep warring with their praise and thanksgiving to take over that region and gain more and more ground for the kingdom of their Master and Savior Jesus. They will gather together as often as possible, all who can join, in a different location each time. This location will be revealed by the Holy Spirit as they are obedient to gather and go forth. This knowledge of the location will be given to the leaders on a need-to-know basis. It will not be planned out ahead of time or spoken about. Everyone will bring water and supplies and follow their leaders discreetly out to the locations that are to be revealed. This is for the safety of each praise and worship gathering, that no traps or ambushments can be set up ahead of them. Thuel, that's T-H-U-E-L, Thuel, is the main demon principality over that region. He is the grand deceiver, an angel of light that disguises himself to look like Hananiah and Thaddeus, and he presents himself to men as being the bearer of truth to the factious, religious leadership and their followers. He has deceived many in the false religious system over there. Come against him in the name and authority of Jesus. And I'm telling you this, saints, so you too can do this. You can join in your agreement. And this text will be out there so that you can read through it and pray and exercise your authority. Come against him in the name and authority of Jesus and declare him powerless and defeated. Command him to be stripped naked, bare for all to see what he really is. Break his power and grip off that region with your praises, thanksgivings, and shouts and proclamations of victory. Also, with the understanding that there is no timeline in the spiritual realms. This Friday, when the UBM saints gather to praise and worship, they too will come alongside of the saints in the Middle East in singing, praise, and shouts of thanksgiving and proclamations of victory over Thuel and all the enemies of the missionaries in that region of the Middle East and beyond and up to the very seats and power in the false Christian religions. Amen. These religions hold people in bondage and don't mind killing people that may be causing people to leave their dead churches because they're being born again. So we're going back to questions and answers with the angels, number 3. David asked Baruch, "What signs will you give us for all those who need signs to believe your messages?" And Baruch said, "For the scoffers and the critics, no amount of signs will be enough, just as it was in your Savior Jesus' time, and in the time of the apostles and the prophets of old, up to this current day. Many have had signs and miracles already, that what we've spoken is true." This is true. "Tell them to share all their testimonies of faith and of our faithful God and his Son, Jesus, your Savior." Amen. Well, this is in progress now. We are collecting the testimonies from the saints since the eighth day fast and anointing and the days and weeks following. If you'd like to send them to us, we will include them. Okay. David asked, Can we have proof that the faction is being destroyed? Baruch said. Proof that the faction is being destroyed and has already been destroyed has been given. And by the way, they tell you things that ahead of time so that you speak and believe them so that they come to pass. Yes. It has been given even in recent dreams and is already accomplished in the spiritual realm. I've already spoken to you that timings for all things are according to your Father's plan. Each is dealt with individually. We must stay within our bounds. We cannot exceed them according to man's will or ways. Someone made a slip-up when praying for more wisdom and discernment to be poured out upon them, asking Jeruel to do it for him in the form of a prayer. And Jeruel said, "You must ask your father and not me." And then he quoted a portion of James 1 and 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. So you see there, they do not accept your prayers. They do accept your commands against the enemies and against the works of darkness, because they're in agreement with the Word of God. Eve said, "Then I heard Father's voice speak after this, and he said, 'David is truly my beloved son, and I will cause men to hold him in high esteem for my ministry's sake, and he will glorify me to all that I send his way.'" This word was spoken to confirm two words given to David recently. Well, here's a word we got from Lakeisha Watson, and 8:15:22, and it was, "Truly this is a son of God." So Lakeisha said, well, I'm sharing this not to glorify myself, but to point out to people that the wicked are going to come against this, and they are going to come against me, and as you will see in just a few minutes. Lakeisha said, "I would like to share a small thing that happened to me today. As I was reading Mark 15 and 39, David accidentally called me at 10:10 a.m. Yeah, it was a pocket call. The part of that verse I had just finished reading when David made this pocket call said, "Truly this man was the Son of God." However, a footnote in the ASV says, "a son of God." Of course, a Roman soldier could very easily believe that because they believed in many gods, right? A son of God, ASV. Okay, this is being used because Jesus said, "Whatsoever you have done to the least of these my disciples, you have done it unto me." When they crucify one of God's saints, they are crucifying him. Okay. And all we are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ, and we claim it, and it's ours. He mentioned that Eve had also gotten the exact same words. And I took it that Father was saying that David is indeed one of his sons. Eve replied, "This totally confirms the word I received from him back in mid-July in Matthew 27 and 54. My finger was on the underlined phrase. And the verse goes, "Now the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus, when they saw the earthquake and the things that were done, feared exceedingly, saying, 'Truly this was the Son of God.'" Or, again, a son of God, as above. So, I believe this is more credible, actually, because of the Roman soldier, you know. So then, we get this, okay? This was given to Marilyn Klink, 8:23:22, and we called it the man-child David's final crucifixion. Last night, Father woke me up to pray, so I got up and went to Barry's study and prayed for individuals that were being placed on my heart. When I was leaving the study, I saw 1:44 on the digital clock on the desk. I then heard in my spirit, "Pray for David." I wasn't getting anything specific to pray, so I was mostly praying that Father would give him grace, wisdom, strength, protection, and courage. And then I went back to bed, but was very restless and unable to get back to sleep. This morning, when I asked the Lord for a verse, my finger came down on, "For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." Herod was an Edomite. He was part of the faction against God's people. And of course, he killed the children who were contemporaries with Jesus the man-child, but he did not get Jesus the man-child. Matthew 2:13. "And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." Lastly, a couple of nights ago, I had a very brief dream, and I knew that I was at Calvary with other people who were standing around like spectators, and that David was about to be crucified. I didn't see him, but I knew that they were just about to nail him to the cross. And that was the end of the dream. So David asked Baruch, "What kind of crucifixion is this going to be?" And Baruch answered, "Listen carefully. This persecution will come because of our words and messages that we have brought to you and to the saints of UBM. Some who are now associated with UBM will stumble and fall away because of hidden criticisms, scoffing, unbelief, idols, and hardness of heart. This is the final crucifixion before the resurrection and appearing of Christ in his first fruits anointed ones, the man-child reformers." Well, that's good news. Crucifixion is here, and after that is resurrection, caught up to the throne, and the man-child reformers appear. And the revival starts. So, again, we go to other questions. David asked, "Can you tell me what you can about how the money will come?" And we were talking about the money to spread the gospel around the world and to feed serve the people of God. And Baruch said, "We do not have details of all the ways your Father will send it, but we can tell you that men will heap it into your bosom." Well, I can tell you that this is just an answer to Scripture. And this is because our ministry has given everything to get the gospel out freely, as so those that know us know. Luke 6:38. "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall they give into your bosom." There it is. So that's the word of God right there. "For with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again." I can tell you people have given down to their last pennies to make sure that the not only our ministry, but the evangelists overseas are all capable and able to do their job. And not that we don't need a lot more, we do. And this is why I asked this question. So David said, "Tell us what the saints need to hear at this time." And Baruch said, "Rejoice, for you are now entering into a great time of grace and power that the Father is pouring out upon the first fruits. Keep emptying yourselves, overcome unbelief and ask your Father to fill you more and more with His faith. Amen. We pray that right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that we be overcomers, that we overcome any unbelief. And Father, we ask you to fill us more and more with your faith, your gifts of faith. Then Baruch said, "Behold, your king is coming. Continue on in living meagerly before the Lord after your fast. A great outpouring is coming and is already upon you." And we found out that the outpouring was to come after the crucifixion and the appearing of the man-child ministry, right? Because they bring the revival, right? He goes on to say, "In the days to come, you will see many more miracles, not only confirming all that has been spoken to you, but also the ministry of UBM. Word will spread exponentially as these things start to take place, and men will be so inspired and impressed with the Lord in your midst that they will bestow their gifts of wealth and their assets upon the ministry." And again, this is not to enrich any one of us. This is, we all live a crucified, meager life. And this is to serve others by spreading the gospel and meeting their needs. Okay, here's a message from our Father given through the angel over UBM Baruch for those in local and larger UBM. Okay. And that's August 22nd, 2022. Okay, and this is first a note from me. Father is preparing all in UBM to be provided for in the coming days of scarcity. I don't know if you know that or not. There's a lot of baloney out there about the 1,000 years of peace, but we know what the book of Revelation tells us, especially in chapter 6, what is coming. Scarcity. And Acts 2:44-45 is a good example of this. Everyone will receive from the Lord their reward. Those that give towards the ministries that are out there that are doing this will on the front lines, hazarding their lives every day, living a very meager lifestyle. The Bible says give, Luke 6:38, "Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall they give into your bosom." We want to be a channel for God's funds to go through us to meet the needs of these people. There is a tremendous revival happening. In fact, in a couple of continents. "For with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again." That's right. If you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. That's what the Lord says. So, first of all, I want to tell you that I received no money from UBM. Okay. And secondly, this angel has passed the test of 1 John 4:1-3. And thirdly, he has been proven correct every time. This is not for UBM. It is to make sure that the needs of all of your brethren are met from the overabundance of others. If it's wrong today to do this, it was wrong for the apostles in the book of Acts to do it, because that's what they did. And this is where we're going. The angels have told us we're going to finish that book of Acts in our day. Yeah. So we're not here to be enforcers of what I'm about to tell you. The sacrifices that the saints gave in Acts paved the way for a great revival, which the angels have stated is about to be poured out. So listen carefully. And you can ask for your own confirmations. Okay. "As for the ministry's financial needs, Baruch said, our great God is bringing back the first century Book of Acts church operations." Yes. And why? Because in Ecclesiastes 1 and 9, we are told, that which hath been is that which shall be, and that which hath been done is that which shall be done. There is no new thing under the sun. History just repeats. So here we are in the time that I've been telling you, history is going to repeat, and it's repeating. He went on to say, everyone who has partaken in the blessings that UBM has bestowed upon their lives are commanded to sell all things of value that do not pertain to life and sustenance, all things that were purchased or obtained for the purposes of fulfilling the wants and desires of the flesh, and to contribute any excess monies. Again, this is excess. Anything over and above what you need to pay off debts and bills and your daily needs, right? So, and this, of course, puts you into a position like I have been for many years, into a position where you have to have faith in God, and you live day by faith, okay? So, he says, contribute any excess monies that have been hoarded up for retirement living. I'm going to tell you that that stuff, that money is going to be stolen down the road. If you don't spend it for the kingdom of God, and you're not under the tithe, Jesus said, if you don't renounce everything you have, you cannot be my disciple. All of it belongs to him. He's the one that tells you what to do with it. So all that have been hoarded up for retirement living, or children, or children's children, or that has been clung to as a safety net or a crutch so as to avoid a true walk of faith in the daily provisions of your Father. Do not be an Ananias or a Sapphira, saying, I have given all, and yet you lie to yourselves and the elders. And Baruch said, all will be supplied from the same pot. In other words, God wants equality. He wants everybody's needs met. These people who are hazarding their lives, for instance. And we here all have a meager income, you know. We don't mind that. We're not here to be rich. And but there needs to be a using of the wealth that's been stored up, which is going to be stolen, as Jesus said. Right? Store not up your treasures on earth, where moth and rust and thieves break through and steal. It will happen. Every saint of UBM will have some skin in the game. What their meaning is, we're all going to be involved in making sure this gospel gets out. Everyone who has power over their own belongings and monies will now be responsible to shoulder the burden for UBM and her support. Do not say within your hearts, I have given plenty, and therefore I am justified before God. Let others step up and give. Well, saints, I have known that the book of Acts was going to be instituted. At this particular moment, I didn't know this was going to be sprung on us at all. And it's not my doing, nor my sayings here. Okay? None among the children of Israel, when they gathered the manna, were left with more than their day's portion. Those who gathered little and those who gathered much ended up with just what they needed for that day. Yeah, Exodus 16:17-21 says, and the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And when they measured it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said unto them, let no man leave of it until the morning. In other words, don't store it up, save it up, whatever. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and became foul. And Moses was wroth with them. In other words, they lost it. They could have had a reward, you know, but instead they just lost it. And they gathered it morning by morning, every man according to his eating. Every morning. That's a walk of faith. 2 Corinthians 8:9-15 says, For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. Oh, that you through his poverty might become rich. And it didn't stop there. And herein I give my judgment, for this is expedient for you. In other words, you are supposed to do the same thing. Become poor to make others have their needs met, right? Who were the first to make a beginning a year ago, not only to do, but also to will. Some people say, it's, well, if you will it, that's enough. No, he says, you have to do it. But now, and I've done this almost all of my Christian life, over 50 years I've done this. I've given all of my excess to the needs I saw around me. And every time I had a need, God came through with miracles. Verse 11, but now complete the doing also, that there was the readiness to will, so there may be the completion also out of your ability. Amen. So God is saying, just like Jesus gave himself and gave up of his life to take care of the poor, so we are to do the same thing. Especially those that are on the front line hazarding their lives. Which, by the way, I am. They have sent everything against me to try to kill me. For if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according as a man hath, not according as he hath not. So God's not making you responsible for what you don't have. For I say not this, that others may be eased and you distressed. So he didn't want you to, put yourself in the hole for everybody else to be lifted up. And you left in the hole, right? But by equality, there it is. This is what God wants, equality. Your abundance, in other words, your what's over, what you need for the day, right? But your abundance being a supply at this present time for their want, that their abundance also may become a supply for your want, that there may be equality. God wants equality. As it is written, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. So he's confirming what we just read recently. In 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 11. But this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. It's not like you're giving anything up. You're sowing this in order to have not only a reward here, but in heaven. He said you'll reap bountifully. And it can be in many ways that you reap it back, by the way, in your body, in your lifestyle, in things not breaking down, in deliverance from the curse, so on and so forth. Let each man do according as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. In other words, we're not under the law of tithe. That was a necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound unto you, that you, having always all... Listen at this. This is a promise for those that give bountifully towards the work of the kingdom. And God is able to make all grace abound unto you, that you, having always all sufficiency in everything, may abound unto every good work. As it is written, he hath scattered abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness abideth forever. And he that supplieth seed to the sower, notice, it's not for you to keep when he multiplies it back. And he that supplieth seed to the sower and bread for food shall supply and multiply your seed for sowing. So your rewards get greater and greater as you become a channel through whom God blesses the people that need to be blessed. And increase the fruits of your righteousness, you being enriched in everything unto all liberality, which worketh through us thanksgiving to God. This is how it is commanded to be among you from this day forward. Many more will be joining themselves to you in the coming days, and they will need to see this example and the way of life from you all. Yes, amen. Okay, so he wants us to reflect what is scriptural. Is there anything different about what we've been saying? He wants us to reflect what is scriptural. It's very clear. Okay, back to Baruch. It will no longer be David alone living this way. He has been faithful to his God and the saints all these many years to bring you the message and the example of wilderness living, and to be to you a shining example of faithfulness towards God and obedience to his way. All will now put these teachings into practice. Well, you can see they come straight out of the Word of God. Okay. I didn't write these. God wrote these. Okay, these angels are just agreeing with the Word of God. A book of records has now been opened in heaven for the last century Book of Acts Church. As this message has been brought forth to all in UBM, your free will, offerings, and acts of obedience, as well as any disobediences and the hardening of hearts at the promptings of the Holy Spirit, will now be recorded and witnessed. All who humble themselves to this message from our God and great King will be greatly rewarded in this life and in the life to come. Amen. We have said nothing but what we've quoted the scriptures to show you. It tells you the same thing. But those who allow demons of selfishness, greed, fear, and fear of man to dictate their choices in this matter will lose everything in the times just ahead. God will destroy those idols of money and things and will not allow them to remain to fulfill the purpose for which they were stored up. Jesus said, "Do not store up your treasures on earth where moth and rust and thieves break through and steal. Will you be obedient?" But the most tragic consequence of disobedience to this command will be much loss of the eternal rewards that have been prepared for them in heaven. Make for yourselves purses that wax not old, to the glory of our God and the corporate benefit of the body of Christ. Ecclesiastes 5:11-13 says, "When goods increase, they are increased that eat them. And what advantage is there to the owner thereof, save the beholding of them with his eyes?" So if you're hoarding it up, somebody's doing without. When goods increase, they are increased that eat them. And he goes on to say in verse 13, "There is a grievous evil which I have seen under the sun, namely, riches kept by the owner thereof to his hurt. And those riches perish by evil adventure." There you go. You see it again. It bred worms in the wilderness. Okay, now you see it again. "Those riches perish by evil adventure, and if he hath begotten a son, there is nothing in his hand." Well, okay. So, Baruch goes on to say, "All will get into the same boat or be left out in the cold of the winter of judgments that are coming upon the economies and the peoples of the world." What a message! And straight out of the Word of God. The angels are totally agreeing with what the Word has said. Give glory to God, saints. Join in this great adventure. Learn to walk by faith day by day for your provision. And even when you walk into a wilderness, it will be there if God has to feed you out of heaven. We are about to enter the tribulation. Amen. And you need your gifts stored up in heaven under our Joseph, who is Jesus. Listen, when it's in heaven, nobody can steal it, and you can get it anytime you need it. Amen. So store it up there. Amen. Thank you, Father, for this blessed word in Jesus' name. And thank you for your love and cooperation in the saints to do this wonderful thing that you have planned to do, to preserve your people and to preserve those who are working very hard to get the gospel out. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Amen. Good night, saints.